الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're closing the discussion with regards to أركان الحج, أركان الحج, with regards to the pillars of الحج. And we have seen that they are four, and the first one is الإحرام, which is نية الدخول في النسك, the ihram, with the intention to enter into those sacred rites. And the second one is al-wuquf bi arafah. Al-wuquf bi arafah is to be present on arafah, on the day of arafah, and the time that is prescribed from the dhuhr until the fajr, from the dhuhr of yom arafah to the fajr of the day of Eid. This is the time to be present there to catch this great pillar. And we have seen likewise that this particular pillar here, if a person were to miss this one, then he would miss Hajj. Then he would miss Hajj. And this one has a specific time. If that time passes and a person did not perform that right, he would have no Hajj that year. And likewise, the Ihram is similar as well. The one who wants to make Hajj for the year that he is in, he must also make Al-Ihram before Arafah passes, and before he misses Arafah. So this is the deadline likewise for the Ihram, entering into that great state of those sacred rites, and likewise standing at Arafah on that day, on the day of Arafah. And then we've seen also that the third pillar is Tawaf al-Ifadah, which is also known as Tawaf al-Ziyara, or Tawaf al-Rukn, or Tawaf al-Fard, or Tawaf al-Sadr. Ahsant, barakallahu fik, al-Sadr. Naam, the Tawaf al-Ifadah, because the people are leaving from Mina and going out to Mecca, and likewise as ziyara, because the tawaf of visiting, because at this time the pilgrims, they're all spending their days and nights in Mina, and this is where their rites are performed, except for this great right here. They will visit Mecca to perform this tawaf, and they go back to stay in Mina. And we have seen as well that the first opportunity for this particular pillar to be performed is the first opportunity it is allowed for one to leave Muzdalifah. And a number of the scholars mentioned that will be in the middle of the night of Muzdalifah. This will be the first opportunity to perform that pillar. As for the time that it ends, then it continues. If a person were to miss for one reason or another, for example, if he were ignorant and he did not know, and Hajj was finished, and then someone asked him about his tawaf al-ifadah, for example, and he said, no, I never made that. Even if it was a month later or 2 months later, he did not miss it. He will go back and he will catch it. It has no time limit to when it will be considered correct. It has a time it should be performed, and the proper time for it to be performed, and a person must not delay it without an excuse. But if something happened and it was delayed, then it can be caught. This pillar here can be caught, and a person, he will not miss it. Likewise, the same issue with the sa'i, and this is what we were discussing in the previous class. And we have seen the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha that was corrected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ مَوْقُوفٌ That she said, مَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ حَجَّ إِمْرِئٍ وَلَا أُمْرَتَهُ مَا لَمْ يَطُفْ بَيْنَ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةِ. Allah will not complete the hajj of a person, nor his umrah, if he did not make the tawaf between Safa and Marwa, meaning making the sa'i, going back and forth between Safa and Marwa, And likewise, we've seen the hadith of Habibah bint Abi Tajzi'ah radiallahu anha, that she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Is'aw, fa'inna allaha kataba alaykum sa'i, that you must make the sa'i. This is an order. This is an order that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered that, and the fundamental principle with regards to the orders and the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it's an obligation. And then he emphasized sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَيْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَوْجَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ السَّعِي, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and made obligatory upon you to make the sa'i. And this narration is connected by Imam Ahmed, and likewise al-Hakim, and also Daraqutni rahimahum Allahu ta'ala. So we were discussing the issue of the time for the sa'i, and with regards to the umrah, The people of knowledge, the majority of them, they have agreed that it must be after the tawaf. And we have seen likewise the pillars of Umrah. The pillars of Umrah are three. And they are the Ihram, similar, the same as the Hajj, and likewise tawaf. But the tawaf here is not called tawaf al-Ifada. The tawaf here is called tawaf al-Umrah. Also, some may call it tawaf al-Qudum. It's the same. Yani tawaf al-Qudum for the Mu'tamar is tawaf al-Umrah. The one who makes Umrah, he is making one tawaf. So he makes that tawaf was sa'i and the sa'i. So these are the three pillars of al-Umrah. These are the three pillars of al-Umrah. And with regards to this sa'i, before to be correct, it must come after the tawaf that is considered correct likewise. So if a person made a mistake and he did not make the tawaf properly in Umrah, we're talking about Umrah here at this point. If he's making Umrah and then he made tawaf, he's making Umrah, he's in Ihram, he made tawaf and then he made sa'i, and they come to find out his tawaf was not correct, he has to redo the tawaf. He will also have to redo the sa'i as well, because the sa'i will not be considered correct except if it's preceded by the tawaf. Except if it's preceded by the tawaf. This is with regards to the Umrah. With regards to the Umrah. As for the time for the sa'i for the one who's making tamattu', the mutamatti', then this is the same time as it's allowed to make tawaf al-ifada. And the people of knowledge, they differed about whether it's allowed to precede the tawaf or it must be after the tawaf. But a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that it would be considered correct even if the sa'i was done before the tawaf, before tawaf al-ifada, but in the same time. And Allah knows best. But again, as much as one is able, he will strive to perform all of these rites, whether they're pillars or obligations or sunan. All of these rites, he will strive to the best of his ability to follow the sunnah and to abide by the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam diligently. So whether it's an obligation or not an obligation, whether it's mandatory or not mandatory, any believer, he will try to perfect the Hajj. He will try to perform it to the best of his ability according to that which he knows from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the likes. But to learn these rulings in order to be able to benefit from this knowledge while one is in these certain circumstances and situations will be a means to help a person in order to perform them properly, to know that which is incumbent for the Hajj to be considered correct and for him to bring those rites, and then what would be considered a means of perfecting that and making that good and better. And if he were to miss something, then what is upon him with regards to that thing that he missed or he was not able to perform. So this is the case with regards to the sa'i of the mutamatti'. As for the qarin and the mufrid, then both of them, they're only going to make one sa'i. And this is with regards to their deeds, because they're just going to perform the actions of al-hajj, which would include one tawaf, tawaf al-ifada, and one sa'i. But it's from the sunnah of the mufrid and the qadim, and anyone who is coming, the qadim in a Mecca, anyone who's coming and arriving in Mecca, the first thing he will do whenever he comes to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that he will make tawaf, a sunnah. And this tawaf here is called tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-Qudum, and it's like Tahiyat al-Masjid for Masjid al-Haram. Tawaf al-Qudum, and it's a sunnah, it's not an obligation. So it's allowed for the one who is making the Qiran, or the one who is making Ifrad, if he made Tawaf al-Qudum, and then he made his Sa'i at that time, after that Tawaf, then whenever he makes the Tawaf al-Ifada, he doesn't have to make Sa'i now. Because he only has to make sa'i one time. So this is allowed for him. So if he made tawaf qudum, he could just come and make tawaf qudum and he could go about his business and leave. Or he can make tawaf qudum and then also make sa'i. And that would be considered the sa'i for his hajj. Because he's in the state of ihram. And he made the ihram for abqiran. Or he made the ihram for the ifrad. Or for the ifrad like this. So therefore it's allowed for him now while he's in that state to go ahead and make that sa'i for those rites. For those rites after the tawaf al-qudum. Or if he didn't make it at that time, now he must make it after the tawaf al-ifada, at the proper time that has preceded. So again, this is some of those details of those rites. Some more details will come inshallah whenever we begin reading the narrations. Whenever we begin reading the narrations. After this, we discuss al-wajibat. We discuss al-wajibat. Just to review again and try to be able to picture and visualize the knowledge. We finished with the conditions, there were five. And then we moved on to the pillars. And for Hajj, there are four. And for Umrah, there are three. They share in three, but Hajj is specific to the day of Arafah. So the wajibat, likewise, they share. The Hajj and the Umrah. The Hajj has seven wajibat. And the Umrah has two. So just to mention those two first, so we can finish with the Umrah, so that it's clear. The wajibat of the Umrah is al-ihram min al-miqat. Al-ihram min al-miqat, to enter into those sacred rites from the miqat. And what that means is to not pass the miqat except in the state of ihram. Doesn't necessarily mean a person has to be at the miqat to make the ihram, but what is intended, al-ihram min al-miqat, annahu la yatajawaz al-miqat illa wa annahu qad ahrama. That he will not go past the miqat, that point, except that he has already entered into those sacred rites. The second wajib from the two wajib of the umrah is al-halq aw al-taqsir, to shave the head or to trim the hair. So these are the two. So to finish the umrah, we say umrah has three pillars: al-ihram. And al-ihram wa tawaf wa sa'i, and it has two obligations, and that is al-ihram min al-miqat, and then al-halq aw al-taksir. Al-halq, what does that mean? Shaving the head. Al-taksir, trimming the hair. So this is the issue of the pillars and the obligations of umrah. As for the wajibat of the hajj, then there are seven. We just mentioned them. Any number them and mention them, and then after that we discuss each one in detail. So we have al-ihram min al-miqat. We have al-wuquf bi-arafah juz'an min al-layl. So now we have to pay attention to the difference. We discussed the pillars, we're finished with that. The arkan, this is not the arkan, now this is the wajibat, not to confuse them, because we mentioned ihram in the pillar. We mentioned arafah in the pillar. But now we're mentioning ihram again. But more detail for the wajib from the miqat. Likewise, the Arafah, the wajib is to be there a portion of the night. The third one, al mabit bi Muzdalifah, to spend the night in Muzdalifah. And the fourth one is al mabit bi Mina, liyali ayyam al tashriq. That one who will stay the nights of al tashriq in Mina, whether he stays all three of them or he stays two of them, according to which path he takes. And the fifth one is Ramyu al-Jamarat Murattabah. To stone the Jamarat in order. What is that order? On the day of Nahr, the Jamarat al-Aqaba only. On the day of Nahr, only one. The biggest one. On the day of Nahr, the day of Eid, you only stone one of them. And then on the days of Tashriq, you stone all three of them in order. In order like this. So first, on the day of Nahr, is the large one, alone. And then on the day, the days of Tashriq, after that, all three of them in order. The sixth one is Al-Halq Al-Taksir, to shave the head or to trim the hair. Both of them are the same in the ruling. One of them is more virtuous and better than the other, and their details, but both of them, they take the same ruling. So whether he shaved or whether he trimmed, he fulfilled the wajib. The seventh one, Tawaf al-Wada'. So the pillars, we have seen the pillars and the wajibat, they come together in one aspect, and they are separate and different in another aspect. They are in accordance in one aspect, meaning that they're both obligatory. The pillar is obligatory and the wajib is obligatory. But the difference between the two of them is that the pillar, there's no replacement for it, and it must be performed any specifically. The pillar, it must be performed, and there's no replacement for it. And as for the wajib, then likewise it's mandatory and obligatory, but if a person were not able to perform it, then he can replace it by slaughtering a sheep. He can replace it by slaughtering a sheep. So if a person were to leave a pillar intentionally or unintentionally, then his hajj will be invalidated. But if he were to leave an obligation intentionally, then he will be sinning, but he can rectify that. And if he were to leave it unintentionally or because of a reason, then he will not be sinning and he can still rectify that. We see the difference between the two. So this is the case. The wajib, a person, if he left it on purpose, he's sinning. If he left it on purpose without an excuse, he's considered sinning. And he has to slaughter a sheep. And this particular sheep, it has to be distributed to the poor people of Mecca. And whoever is poor in Mecca at the time of distribution. They don't have to be from Mecca, but they have to be the poor people in Mecca at the time of distribution. No matter where they're from. So he's not allowed for him to eat from that or to give a gift from that. All of it must be given in charity for the poor of those people in Mecca. So this is the case. So the one who left it intentionally, he's sinning, he must repent. And then likewise, he must slaughter a sheep. The one who left it because of an excuse, he's not sinning, but he still also has to slaughter a sheep. The one who left it because he has an excuse. He has an excuse, but he has to leave it. So he's free of sin, and he's free of blame, but he still has to make the expiation. And this is by slaughtering the same type of sheep. If the person, he were not able to perform it, the wajib, he's not able to perform it, whether easily or with difficulty, it's not possible for him to perform it, then the obligation falls off and there's no blame on him and there's no expiation for him. You understand? So with regards to the wajib, is three cases. The first one is the one who left it intentionally. The one who left it intentionally, he is considered sinning. This is bringing deficiency to his hajj. This is bringing deficiency to his hajj, to his sacred rites, bringing weakness, bringing sin into his sacred rites. And he also has to sacrifice to expiate that. And as for the one who has an excuse, he left it also, but he has an excuse, he's free of sin and there's no blame on him. But he also has to expiate that by sacrificing. As for the one who is not able to do it, he does not have the ability. He does not have the ability to perform it, then that obligation falls off from him and he does not have to make any expiation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. And this is with regards to the one who's not able. So one, he will fear Allah as much as he can. If he's not able to, then he's not held accountable. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُ مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I order you to do, do as much of it as you can. So this clarifies the third situation. And even the one who's not able. If he's not able to do it sincerely, then he will not have to do it. And he will not be held accountable or required to do it. And he will also not be required to expiate that with slaughtering, because he's free of blame. He does not have the ability. As for the one who left it intentionally or with an excuse, then this has been mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, corrected by Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta with a chain that is authentic, that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, man nasiya min nusukihi shay'an aw tarakahu falyuhriq daman That whoever forgot something from his sacred rites, or he left it, then let him slaughter. من نسي من نسكه شيئا أو تركه فليحرق دما. Whoever forgot something from his sacred rites, this is the one who left it with an excuse. He forgot, right? He left it with an excuse. Whoever forgot something from his sacred rites, or he left it, this is the one who left it intentionally. So both of those points are covered here. that we just discussed in this narration of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah. We understand that? What did he say? فَلْيُهْرِقْ دَمًا. Let him slaughter an animal. Let him slaughter an animal. Whenever dam is mentioned here, it means blood. What they're intending is the sheep. Yani is the shant. Is the shant. This is what is intended for the fidyah. For the fidyah of this affair. So Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned these two people here. So this is the case. The one who has an excuse, he left it and he has an excuse. For example, he forgot here. Or he has another excuse. Maybe he's sick, or maybe he like this, or he will not be able to perform it except with great hardship and the likes like that because of a sickness or a situation that he's in. Then now he has an excuse, like the one who forgot. So therefore he's free of blame, but he has to slaughter. But he has to slaughter. Oh, taraka. Oh, taraka. Or he left it. This is the muta'ammid. This is the one who did it on purpose, intentionally. Then he likewise has to slaughter. The difference between the two is one of them is sitting and the other is not. So the one who is sitting along with that, he must repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the point to be made here for those who are intending to make hajj specifically is that the wajib is not an option. The wajib is not an option. It's not like the person, he has an option. Either he'll do the wajib or he'll slaughter. They're not equal. They're not equal. Except in the case of the one who has an excuse. Except in the case of the one who has an excuse. Now it will rectify that for him. But as for the one who leaves it intentionally while he's able, and he has no excuse, then he is considered sinning. And again, this is from the means to bring deficiency to those rights, and to weaken the reward, and to jeopardize his hajj from being al-hajj al-mabrur. Al-hajj al-mabrur. So we have some examples here. The person, for example, one of the wajibat is to spend the night in Muzdalifah. To spend the night in Muzdalifah. This is an obligation, at least until the middle of the night. So if a person, he left Arafah, and then he said, you know, he's going straight to Mina. And the people are telling him, no, you have to go to Muzdalifah. Spending the night in Muzdalifah is an obligation for you. And he said, man, I'm tired. I'm not going. I'm going to Mina. And he went to Mina. What is the ruling for this person? He has to slaughter and make Toba. He's sinning. He's not excused. He doesn't have an excuse. Everybody's tired at this time. He's being lazy and weak and the likes like this. So this person now, he has no excuse. This is not an excuse for him. This is not a valid excuse. So therefore, by leaving this obligation, he's considered sinning. And he has to slaughter a sheep. So the point is now to understand these rulings. So this man here, he said he's not going. So he went to Mina. He didn't go to Muzdalifah while he's able to. So he has to slaughter, and likewise he has to repent. Another example, a person, he has a high fever, and he's really sick, and he could go to Muzdalifah, but it's not good for him. He's really not feeling well at all. He's in bad shape, very sick. So it's allowed for him to go to Mina and to skip Muzdalifah, and there's no blame on him, and he has to slaughter. He has to slaughter a sheep. مَنْ نَسِيَ مَنْ نُسُكِهِ شَيْئًا أَوْ تَرَكَهُ فَلْيُحْرِكْ دَمًا. So this is the case. So we discussed three categories of people with regards to these wajib. The first one is the one who left it intentionally. The second one is the one who left it with an excuse. And the third one is the one who's not able to do it whatsoever. So the one who left it intentionally, he has to slaughter and repent. The one who left it with an excuse, he has to slaughter and he's free of blame. And the one who does not have the ability, he's free of blame, and the obligation falls off, and he does not have to make any expiation. With me? So then the third example will be the example of a person, for example, after Arafah, then he is on his way to Muzdalifah, and an accident occurred. And then he's taken to the hospital, and he's not able to make it. He's not able to make it to Muzdalifah that night. And he's not able to get there either because maybe he has broken bones or either because he got delayed after going and coming from the hospital. The traffic is too bad. He's not able to get there. So what's the ruling for him? The obligation falls off. The obligation falls off and there's no blame on him. That was from those verses. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Now, so this is the issue here. So these are the examples of the wajibat. So the wajibat, they are in degree or in status right after the pillars. Right after the pillars. And they're very important and mandatory and an obligation, but they are lighter. They are lighter than the pillars from the fact that they can be replaced. So the first obligation that we discuss, al-ihramu min al-miqat. Al-ihramu min al-miqat. Al-ihram, entering to the sacred rites from the miqat. And what is intended here is to enter into those sacred rites before passing the miqat. And whenever we begin studying the book, inshallah, the first chapter the author he mentions is Bab al-Mawaqit, the chapter with regards to the Mawaqit. And he mentions the narrations where they're identified specifically from every direction that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has prescribed in these certain areas around the Kaaba, that one is not allowed to pass them if he intends to make Hajj or Umrah, except in the state of ihram. So before a person passes that, he must make the ihram to fulfill this obligation. As for the pillar, then that was not specific to any place. So if he made it before, if he made the ihram, he entered into that state with the intention before he reached the miqat, he got the pillar, right? And then also if he passed the miqat and didn't make the ihram, but he made the ihram after he passed the miqat, he got the pillar. The pillar is to make the intention to enter into those sacred rites at any time. It's not restricted to a time or place. It occurs with the intention. So if before or after, the only condition is it has to be before Arafah of the Hajj of that year. If he's making Hajj, before the Arafah passes, because then if that passes, then he missed the Hajj. But as for the Umrah, then there's no time for that. So then it would be with regards to the place and any time. Whether it's before the miqat or after the miqat, he made the ihram, he entered into those sacred rites, and now he has established the pillar. We understand that? But now we want to talk about the wajib. So the wajib is to do that before passing the miqat. So the one who makes the intention of entering to the ihram before passing the miqat, he got the pillar and the wajib. He got the rukn and the wajib. This is the way to do it. As for the one who passed the miqat and then he made the ihram, he got the pillar but he didn't get the wajib. So he has to slaughter a sheep. Anytime a person misses one of these obligations, then he has to slaughter a sheep. Except whenever he's not able. So this person, if he missed it on purpose, then he has to slaughter and make tawbah. And if he missed it on accident or for an excuse, then there's no blame on him, but he still has to slaughter. For example, somebody who is ready to make ihram and he got on the bus or he's in the car, and then they're gonna stop by the miqat and he fell asleep and nobody woke him up. And then he woke up and then he's like, "What, you guys passed the miqat?" He's like, "Yeah, we passed the miqat like an hour ago. You're sleeping the whole time." It's like, "Oh, I didn't make the ihram. So this person here, what should he do? He has a few options. The best thing, he should return back to the miqat. The first thing, he should go back to the miqat. I know. Allah musta'an. You go back. Allah musta'an. I know that one. You have to go back. You go back. And then you make the ihram from the miqat, and you're good. There's nothing on you. But if he woke up and he was like, I already made what happened? And then they're like, oh, we already made ihram, we passed the miqat an hour ago. He's like, labbaik Allahumma hajj. All of a sudden, what happens now? He entered into those states. He established a biller. So now he's in ihram. But he left the obligation. So now, whether he goes back or not, it will not benefit him now. He already entered into the sacred states after the passing of the miqat. He already violated that obligation. So there's no way to fix that now except to slaughter. There's no way to, so he will not, if he passed and then entered, he will not go back. The going back will not benefit him now, because he already entered into that state. He already violated that right. Now the only thing he can do is to slaughter. Is to slaughter. This is the obligation for him to rectify that. To rectify that. We understand? So now with regards to the proper way, the person again must realize that the haram is the intention. So now the point is to make the intention before passing the miqat. To make that intention, but before passing the miqat. So some people, they think that just putting the clothing on again, for example, from the sunan and the likes, is to remove all of the hair on the armpit and the private parts, and to trim the nails and the likes, and to make the ghusl, and to cleanse oneself and prepare oneself for entering into those sacred rites, to take off all of one's garments, all of one's clothing, and to put on the izar and the rida. And this is all from the sunan of those rites. So it's allowed to do all of this in the hotel, for example. If somebody's making umrah or hajj, he's coming from Medina to make umrah, for example, or to make hajj, or whenever he's going to pass the miqat, he doesn't have to be in the miqat to do this. Rather, he can make the preparation in his hotel. He can make the preparation in his home, wherever he's at, and where he's comfortable, where he's easy, where it's not crowded, and this is recommended. And to make to prepare oneself in the hotel room or wherever one is staying and the likes, for example, in Medina, and then have all the clothing on and be ready, but don't make the intention. You don't make the intention in the hotel. You don't make the intention until you get to the miqat. So you're ready for the intention, and you're basically prepared 100%. All you have to do is make the intention. So you save the intention for when you come close to the miqat. So whenever you are coming to the miqat and you see the miqat there, you don't even have to stop now. You don't even stop now, because you already have everything ready to go. You're in the clothing of ihram. All you do now is you make the ihram and the talbiyah, and you just keep going down the highway. This is the good way, right? this is the good and easy way. If sometimes the people that need to stop for whatever reasons and the likes like this, you can stop at the miqat and you can, you know, get food there or buy ihram there or some other needs that you need there and the likes like this, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
Some people, they
want to
make
turaqah. They want to make turaqah. There's no turaqah. The it's not specific any for the ihram. The sunan, inshallah, will come of the ihram is to enter into the ihram after an obligatory prayer. So then now if he prayed, for example, at the Masjid al-Miqat, Dhul-Hulayfa, he prayed an obligatory prayer there, and then after that he entered into the ihram, this is good, but it's not necessary. If he stopped there and then he prayed there and he made ihram after that, Alhamdulillah, but there's no two rak'ah for ihram, like some people may think. No, there's no two rak'ah for ihram. This is not the case, and Allah knows best, So this is how one will do it. He prepare himself, but in the hotel room, and then whenever he's going by the miqat, he'll make the intention and keep on going. Or if he stops with his people, he'll make the intention there, but he's already ready. Instead of crowding the people, this is also helping the other people who are crowding in the miqat and using the showers and using the facilities and so on and so forth. There's a lot of confusion can go on there likewise. So to avoid all that is better. But if a person stopped there, Alhamdulillah, he can stop there. And he can pray in that masjid and the likes like that. That's all allowed. But one will not stop for that reason. The best opinion, and Allah knows best, is that it's not a sunnah of the ihram. So if a person stopped there and then he prayed there, because he stopped for a need, Alhamdulillah, that's allowed for him. But he will not stop to pray. He will not stop there to make ihram and pray there, believing that this is a virtue and the likes like this. If he stops there and he needs to pray an obligatory prayer there and the likes like this, alhamdulillah, it's all good. Or if he stopped there and then he's waiting on his people and he went in the masjid and he prayed tahiyat al-masjid and the likes like this, that's all good. Or if he came at night time, he went to pray the witr prayer for his, it's all allowed. Alhamdulillah, then he make it. To make the ihram after a prayer is legislated. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed an obligatory prayer and then he made ihram. So this is the best way to do it. And if you didn't pray an obligatory prayer and make ihram, then you pray a non-obligatory prayer and then make ihram. That's if you're there. That's if you're there, but you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. This was the point with regards to that. So we see if the one made the miqat, if he made the ihram after the miqat, what does he have to do? He goes back. He goes back. He'll not just, I'll just go. No, he'll go back. If it's very difficult or the people he's with refuse to let him go back, for example, he's on a bus and he has a party that he's with and the likes like this, and they're like, no, nobody's going back. We're not going to get lost, so on and so forth. And they have their decision for the best interest of the group. Then he'll now make his ihram and now he has to slaughter. Inshallah, if it was a mistake, then he's free of blame. He's free of blame. But if he's able to, he will stop and he will go back. And he'll make ihram from the miqat and it will not harm him. So if he passed it and then he made the ihram, even if he went back, he still has to do the same thing. He still has to slaughter. So that there's no need to go back now. So then the point is now to make the ihram entering into that state with the intention at the miqat or just before passing it. Whenever you're driving, if you see it on the right side, you see it now you make your intention and you keep going. And the likes like this, before you pass. But one, it's disliked if he made it before that. If he made the intention before that, for example, in the hotel room, he said, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, or Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah, like this, in the hotel room. This is allowed for him, but it's disliked. This is something that is disliked. It's disliked to make the ihram further away from the miqat. Rather, what is the sunnah and what is preferred is to make the ihram at the miqat or near the miqat or just before the miqat, not before it. And if a person were to make the ihram before the miqat, like for distances before, thinking that that's better, or doing that as an action of worship, you need to do more, to be in ihram longer, now this is haram and not allowed. And this is considered an innovation. Any adding extra distance is considered an innovation. Any as an action of worship, adding extra distance, any believing that it's an action of worship to a means to draw near to Allah, this is not allowed. At Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked, the man, he came to him, he said, min ayna uhram? He said, where should I make the ihram from? So Imam Malik, he says, rahimahullah, min al-miqat, min dhil hulayfa, haythu ahrama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, you should make your ihram from the miqat, from dhul hulayfa, and from the place that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made it. So the man, he says, inni uridu an uhrima min masjid al-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min indi qabarihi. He said, but I want to make the ihram from the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his grave. And the distance is several miles. It's several miles from the masjid, al-masjid al-Nabawi to Dhul Hulayfa. And the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Dhul Hulayfa is not even in Medina. Today Dhul Hulayfa is part of Medina because Medina has grown. So now it's part of Medina. It's inside the city now, but it's still on the outskirts. On the very edge in the outskirts, it's several miles away. So it's a good distance away from the miqat, the Masjid al-Nabawi. So he's saying he wants to make the ihram from the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his grave. So Imam Malik, he says, لَا تَفْعَلْ فَإِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكَ الْفِتْنَةِ. So Imam Malik, he said, don't do it because I'm afraid for trials before. I'm afraid trials may befall you. So the man, he says, وَأَيُّ فِتْنَةً إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَمْيَارٌ أَزِيدُهَا إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَمْيَارٌ أَزِيدُهَا. He said, what trials are you thinking? What trials are going to happen to me? It's only just a few miles I'm increasing them. It's only just a few additional miles that I'm adding. So Imam Malik, he says, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. This is also from his great wisdom and from those statements that he has mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, clarifying his understanding of the religion and the fact that he was upright and steadfast upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was striving upon that way. And to be diligent in observing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَأَيُّ فِتْنَةٍ أَعْظَمُ مَنَ تَرَى أَنَّكَ سَبَقْتَ إِلَى فَضِيلَةٍ قَصَّرَ عَنْهَا النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ And to see Bahum fitna. So Al-Imam Malik, he says, in which fitna? What trial is greater than the fact that you think that you will precede the messenger, that you would precede the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in some virtuous deed? It's in some virtuous deed. Now he believes that it's virtuous now to not make ihram from where the Prophet made ihram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather to go further than that, to add miles to that. So Imam Malik, with his understanding and his sharp mind, you've seen this. He said, what's wrong? Why are you afraid of me for any fitna or any trials? I'm just going to add a few miles. He said, but what fitna is greater than you thinking that you know something better or you have proceeded to something virtuous that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fell short in doing. And he fell short in doing that. And the Prophet, he made the ihram from here. You want to add and make it from here, claiming that it's better, thinking that this is more virtuous and beneficial for you. So this is a great fitna. He says, indeed, I heard Allah Azza wa Jalla saying that those who oppose His command must beware. And those who oppose the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and turn away from that, they must beware. Or else a fitna will befall them. So this is from the great benefits of the likes of this affair. And what is a greater fitna? So the man, he says, it's only, I'm afraid there's some fitna for you. If you add, he said, what kind of fitna? I'm only adding a few miles. We understand the point. But the fitna here is not any from adding the few miles, believing that these few miles that you're adding is better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shorter than that. So now you think you're going to add miles that's going to be better than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the fitna. This is the trial. So to fall into innovation, in general, this is the case. To believe that there is something pleasing in a virtuous way that is going to draw one near to Allah azza wa jalla that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know about. Or that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum did not know about. So these are fundamentals with regard to the religion in general and with regard to this issue specifically. So therefore, it's not allowed for a person to make the ihram before the miqat, believing that it's better, or believing that it's virtuous, or believing that it's an action of worship and a means to draw near to Allah. This is not allowed. So if he made the ihram before the miqat out of ignorance or just out of hastiness and the likes like this, it's allowed for him. It's allowed, he enters into that state, but it's disliked. It's disliked. So he should not do that. So what would he do from the hotel room or from his place of residence? He will prepare himself by getting his clothing on and making all the preparations with the ghusl and the likes like this, and he will do everything except make the intention. And he will save that part for whenever he comes close to the miqat or whenever he's directly at the miqat. Then he will make the intention. Whatever he does, he will make sure he doesn't pass without the intention. This is the point to catch the wajib. There's one case whenever it is actually recommended to make the intention before the miqat, by some time. Ahsanta. Whenever a person, he's afraid he's going to pass it unknowingly. Like whenever the miqat is not clear for him, he doesn't know for sure where the miqat is or whenever he's going to pass it. For example, like those who are coming in by airplane now and they're on some particular airlines that don't announce for them. Some airlines will announce for them and they'll tell you the miqat is coming in such and such minutes and the likes like this. But some airlines, they do not announce that. So the one who's on the likes of this airlines and he's not aware of when he's going to pass the miqat, he will go ahead and make the ihram. Yani he will be in that state, he will be having the preparation, and then he will go ahead and make the ihram with his intention and a point, even if it's before some, by some miles, or by some time, he'll make it in a place where he is certain that he entered before passing. So at this time, it's allowed for him, and he will not be considered disliked, even if it was quite a ways, because he's not aware and he's afraid that maybe he may go past it. Or for example, somebody is extremely tired And he's about to pass out. He's afraid if he falls asleep on the plane, he's not going to wake up. He's going to pass it. So therefore, the similar situation, he will make it whenever he knows that he has entered in the proper before passing, and then the fact that it's dislike will not be considered in his case because he has an excuse, and Allah knows best, and Allah knows best. So this is the first obligation, al-ihramu min al-miqat. And the second one, al-wukufu bi'arafa juz'an min al-layl. Al-wukuf bi'arafa juz'an min al-layl. That one, he must be present in Arafa, a portion of the night. And this is for the wajib. The pillar is to be there any time in the day and the night. And the evidence for that was the hadith that we took in our previous class of Urwa ibn Mudarris radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him that anybody who stood وَقَدْ أَتَى عَرَفَ قَبْرَ ذَلِكَ لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَقَدْ تَمَّ حَجُّهُ وَقَضَى تَفَثَ. So then this is the indication that that pillar is established, whether he stands there or whether he's present there in the daytime or the nighttime. But as for the wajib, then he has to be there a portion of the nighttime, because we have seen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was there from dhuhr time all the way until just after Maghrib. So he came close to that time. He came close to those lands, and then he waited just before entering. And then whenever Dhuhr came, he immediately entered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He remained there all the way until Maghrib time, after the sun has set entirely, and brief moments after that, and then he traveled and left from there to Muzdalifah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an obligation to be there a portion of the night. At least a portion of the night. So the one who came in the daytime and then he left, he didn't catch the wajib. He caught the pillar but not the wajib. So if he came in the daytime and then he had to take care of some business, for example, then he came back at nighttime, he caught the pillar and the wajib. This is allowed for him, alhamdulillah. But if he came in the daytime and he didn't catch a portion of the night on purpose, and he could have stayed there, but he was hasty and the likes like this, and he just left anyways, then he's sinning and he has to slaughter. If he has an excuse, he's very sick, or the likes like this, he's not able to make it till the nighttime, then he has no blame on him, but he still has to slaughter. If he was not able to, something happened to him, and he's on Arafah, and then something happened to him, and he's not able to make it till the night time, he was prohibited from that, there's no blame on him, and that obligation falls off. So there's a general evidence for the rites of Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِتَأْخُذُوا مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, in order for you to take your sacred rites, meaning from me, وَخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take from me the sacred rites. Take from me your sacred rites of Al-Hajj. But even he mentioned this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have seen some of those sacred rites. There are pillars, and others are obligations, and others are even sunan and not obligatory. And they're only recommended. But one of the evidences that clarifies that this is an obligation here, to be there a portion of the night, is that this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is how he established that. So the people of Nod, as they look here, which one, knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's never given a choice between two affairs, except he'll choose the easiest of the two, so long as it's not sin. That's if he has a choice. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a situation where he has a choice, then he will choose the one that's easier, so long as it's not sin. We keep this in mind here. Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا خُيِّرَ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ إِلَّا أَخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِثْمًا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِثْمًا. This is a well-known hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his hadith, from his guidance, and from his way sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was never made to choose between two different affairs, except that he would choose the one that was easier and more facilitated, so long as it was not considered sin or an action of disobedience. And if it was an action, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the furthest from that. So the people of Nas, they have looked at this case here. Which one is easier for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the people to leave Arafah in the daytime or in the nighttime? No doubt, leaving in the daytime is much easier. Leaving in the daytime is much easier than leaving in the nighttime, especially in those days when there's nothing but mountains and land, and the desert land, and the likes like that, no lights, absolutely no lights. So it's very dark, very dark. So it's much easier to leave in the daytime than it is in nighttime. But the Prophet ﷺ, he did not leave in the daytime. And he did not allow anyone likewise. He did not make a rukhsa in this case here. He did not make a rukhsa and allowing for the women, for example, or for those who are sick or those who are weak or for the elders. He didn't make any rukhsa for anyone to leave early. So this is an indication that it's an obligation and it was not his choice. Had it been a choice, no doubt it's easier to leave in the daytime than it is to stay in the nighttime. So therefore it's an indication that this was not something he was given a choice with regards to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the aspect the people of Allah has mentioned that this is an obligation. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.